are listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Y'all tuning in to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. Thank you all for coming, showing up, showing your support, showing the love. Also support the YouTube channel, Nasty Backpack, on YouTube. Go help support that as well. Let's get to it, guys. And so, I was kind of going over the news that's kind of been going on in the our local news in Arizona, and came across the story about Tempe, and that they're expanding some of the tools to kind of help the homelessness out there in the communities. You know, help. Provide resources and things that just kind of like more outreach tools. They have a 24-hour hotline that anybody can call and report anything that they're seeing out there with somebody that's kind of seems like they're in a crisis situation. But you know, if we're trying to, like, I'm glad Tempe is starting to provide these services. They probably do it seems like they do the most as far as having services available for people on the streets. And if you live in Arizona and you live in the Tempe, Phoenix area, or you travel through Tempe, you can tell that the homeless rate in that area is going up tremendously. But you know, if you know, these tools are great, but there's other issues that are happening in Tempe. And so you know, I do a lot of outreach in the community, and Tempe is one of the areas that I hit hard. I go down to Ground Zero, you know, Priest and Baseline area, across from AZ Mills. And one thing I could tell you is that, you know, that area there's a lot of traffic there. There's a lot of traffic in that area. For drugs. And so because there's so much drugs being pumped into that area, it's not just the people that are suffering from the addiction, it's also the drug dealers that are in that community. And let me explain. So this last Friday I was doing outreach, and like I said, that's the area that I do outreach in. And so I have this young lady who was walking up and down the streets. I'm pretty sure it kind of seemed like she was working. She was a working girl, AKA a prostitute. And so, you know, I'm out there, and one of the things that I do is I hand out waters before I start talking to you, because one, it's hot, and so having water is important, you know, to be out there. And so, anyways, but. You know, I hand this young lady a water, and we start talking to her, and I start explaining to her why what I'm doing out there, and kind of, you know, the outreach efforts to try to get anybody into treatment that wants to go into treatment. You know, we'll help with the rides, we'll help get everything set up, I'll get all the information so that when transportation comes and picks them up, you know, they just got to give that information to the intake center, and they're able to start working on everything that this person will need. And so this young lady needed a lot of services because she's been homeless for 10 years, but she was willing to go and do an intake. So she's super excited. I'm super excited for her. The other person on my team was super excited. We're, you know, comforting her and, you know, letting her know that she's being brave for going and, you know, deciding to check herself into treatment. But in the time that we were waiting for transportation to get there, and you know, in the time that we were just waiting on transportation to pull up to take her to go do her intake, two people walked up, and if I'm just looking at them, you know, I would just think they were a young couple. But when they walked up and, you know, I handed them water bottles and started talking and giving them information about our services, they quickly let me know that they're not there to get services. They they were there to get that young lady out of our custody and get her back on the streets. And so, and they let us know that right away. It was a very, very sketchy situation where, you know, I had to really pay attention. I'm pretty good at reading people, so, you know, I have to be good at reading people for this job and to be able to, you know, really get in tune with, you know, with the services that these folks are needing. But, like I said, these folks weren't there for services. They weren't there for free waters or free trinkets that we handed out to them. They were there specifically to get that girl back working on the streets and get her out of our custody because they didn't want her off the streets. And so it let me know that the drug dealer, and I only say drug dealers because that's what the young lady, so it was a guy and a girl. Like I said, they looked like a couple. And when they walked up, you know, I'm trying to present them with the services that we can offer them. And the guy immediately said, nah, I don't got no drug problems. And, you know, he was kind of like standoffish, but then he opened up his Bible that he had in his hand and he started reading from the Bible real loud, which doesn't sound too strange, but this is the strange thing that happened. When he started reading from the Bible, the guy and the girl that he walked up with, she went to her knees and she was pulling out something out of her her purse. And from what my coworker told me is that she gave the girl that we were helping some pills. And so I didn't really notice that because I was paying attention more to the guy. And then the young lady that we were helping, she went to her knees and she was kind of covering up her head as if she was traumatized or scared of what's to come. And so I say that with saying, you know, they were obviously, he wasn't really being spiritual and just organically reading from the Bible to spread the gospel. He was reading from the Bible because that's his sign to inform the young lady that she needs to get up and go with them. And, you know, what is she doing? And so it immediately showed me, because this area I kind of been hitting a lot lately. You can definitely, and I'm not trying to profile, but you can definitely tell the people that are struggling from substance abuse and the drug dealers out there. Like it's so night and day that it tells me that Tempe has more issues than we know. And so there needs to be more efforts and more resources provided to really help make an impact in the community. So that happened on Friday. So Saturday, I go do an overdose awareness event in Queen Creek. And as you know, August is Overdose Awareness Month. So condolences go out to everybody that has ever lost a loved one, a friend, family member, or just somebody that they generally know to overdose. So prayers go out to those families because there's far too many of them. And so I do this event on Saturday. So this is the very next day. And, you know, I'm still pretty upset that the young lady that we had that was excited to do this intake and wanted to do this intake ended up getting pulled back to the streets by her drug dealers and her pimp. And to go back to that story real quick, so when they got up and they were ready to leave, when they knew they already had the girl back and she was going with them, you know, the young lady tells me, you know, we ain't got no drug problem right here. We the drug dealers right here. And she kind of threw that in my face to say, you know what, pretty much stop doing what you're doing and trying to help these folks who are suffering. You know, so, you know, my thing to her is that I accept the challenge, and we will be back out there this week. I've also cruised the community to see if I can find that young girl and get her out at least in a safe area where I can get her transportation to go get the intake. So I haven't given up on her. So I'm still searching for her. But anyways, to fast forward now, now it's Saturday and I'm doing this outreach event in Queen Creek. And this is hosted by mothers and family members and parents who lost children to overdose. It was a great event, very good, great cause. But there was a part of the event that bothered me. One was a lot of organizations that were supposed to be there, I guess, didn't show up which is not a problem. It was still enough organizations out there, and the cause was still good. One, I didn't see it on the news, and the news was out there. Arizona Family was out there, which is channel, I believe, 3 and 5, and I didn't see the story come out on the news, so I was a little bit disappointed about that. Maybe I just couldn't find it, but I downloaded the app the same day to see if it was going to pop up, and I haven't seen it come up yet on the AZ Family website. So, a little disappointed on that, but this was a Pinal County event, and so the district attorney of Pinal County was there, and he got up and he spoke, and just a disconnect from our district attorney over the fentanyl crisis that we have going on right now, and the drug problems we have going on right now, and the homeless problems that we have going on right now, and the overdose problems that we have going on right now. He didn't have a clear-cut answer for how to start reversing what's going on. Instead, he said that he didn't know how to fix this problem, and that we just need to spread awareness with events like this to the more awareness that we spread, that's how this problem will get fixed. And so it lets me know that he truly doesn't know what the problem is. He truly doesn't know how to fix the problem. And they're probably not spending a whole lot of time trying to get to the real root cause of the problem. And so it really disappointed me, because it's like, spread awareness. We need to spread awareness to our children. We need to spread awareness to our kids while they're in elementary school. We need to spread awareness to our kids while they're in junior high. And we need to spread awareness to our kids while they're in high school and college. Like, that's where the awareness really needs to get spread. The community knows. The community is aware of what's going on. These mothers that are all out there, they've all lost children. These parents that are out there, they all lost children. So they are 100% aware of what the problem is, and aware that there is a problem. And it's more than just spreading awareness. Like, we need actions. And so what does that look like? And, one of the other things that the district attorney said, I wish I remembered his name, but if you just Google whoever the district attorney for Pinal County is, he should pop right up. But one of the other things that he said was that we can't arrest our way out of this problem. And, I think he's right on that, where, you can't only do arrests. You can't only arrest people, but it's who are you really arresting? So if we're only arresting the people that are suffering from opiate use and from fentanyl and heroin and meth use and substance abuse, if we're only arresting those folks, they're going to go to jail. They're going to come out 30 days. And they're going to be right back on the street. And so we're really arresting the wrong people who we should be arresting, who we really should be looking at first to arrest, is the people that are selling these drugs, the drug dealers. And those are the people that I feel that we really need to be going in and hitting hard with. They went hard in the 80s on the war on drugs. And so, you know, we definitely need to have a war on drugs. And so we need to kind of, I'm not saying we need to, you know, what happened in the 80s was a whole different situation. And so, you know, they were giving a lot of people time who were selling crack. You know, in some people's opinion, too much time. I would have to do a lot more research on the 80s to kind of really know how I feel about that. But I believe, you know, with a small amount of crack, people were getting a lot of years. And so, you know, fentanyl is a little bit different. Fentanyl can kill immediately. It can kill you on the first time you try it. And it has got so popular in the communities, in the streets, by celebrities and by rappers and by music, that a lot of kids, you know, are adapting this lifestyle and trying this drug as a party drug, you know, when they go out. And so it's, you know, for a district attorney not to have better answers on how to better the community and how to better these streets, it was really disheartening. Because all these mothers out there are out there because they lost a child. And some of those mothers, the drug dealers, did not get caught, if any of them got caught. And so I say that to say, like, you know, when we're arresting these people that are suffering from substance abuse, like I said, they're going to jail and they're coming right back out. And I don't even think that is the correct method to helping them with the real problem that they're dealing with. They're dealing with a disease that is affecting the brain. So it's really a brain disease. And so because it's a brain disease, we have to treat it like it's a brain disease, and they need to go to treatment rather than going to jail. And the treatment, mandatory treatment, would be a lot more beneficial for that person rather than going to jail. And so instead of getting time for jail, they should get time to go to treatment. And we should have, you know, our states and government, our local and state and federal government, they should be putting money into building a treatment center that has a mandatory stay. So anybody that gets caught or arrested on drug charges, they automatically have to do maybe like a 3-month, 6-month program where there's wraparound services. They go in, they get the help they need, they get counseling, they do groups, they learn how to get the coping skills, they stay sober, they get on some kind of mat services to help with the cravings and withdrawals. And in the end, they become sober, and we find them jobs, we find them housing, and we have a good structured program to get them back into the community so that they don't end up back on the streets. That's what really needs to happen with folks that are suffering from substance abuse. Now, the drug dealers, we need to start hammering in on them. These people are killing folks. They're killing kids. They're killing adults. They're killing children. They're killing infants. When they give those 50 pills to somebody for $25 or $20, and that person who's suffering from substance abuse goes home and throws them on the counter, and then one falls on the floor, and then their little toddler who's crawling around picks up that pill and eats it. Like, you know, they're killing a lot of people. Not only that, the crime rate is going to continue to go up if we don't start looking at these issues. You know, you're having murders over fentanyl. A lot of more guns are coming into the community, which is crazy because the government is pumping drugs into the community, allowing these drugs to get pumped in the community, and then, which is gonna make the crime rate shoot up, but yet they want to come back and take the guns from the civilians, who the law-abiding citizens. They want to take our Second Amendment while they're manufacturing another issue and crisis in our communities. And so it's absolutely asinine to me. But we have to start tackling and looking at these people who are selling these drugs. Like, one thing we know is that it is coming from China. China sends it to Mexico. Mexico processes it, turns it into blue pills, turns it into colorful pills, you know, puts it in the meth, puts it in the heroin, and then they send it all up. And so we see these stories. I see these stories at least once a week. I see a story out of Arizona that we caught. We seized 500,000 pills. We seized 1 million pills. We seized 2.5 million in drugs, in guns and money. And yet, that's just what we're seizing. What about all the drugs that we're not catching? That's hitting these communities hard. They're coming in. Arizona and all our communities in Arizona are going to be the first communities hit because the drugs that are entering through our border and then they're coming up and they hit our community first. Those 500,000 pills, those million pills, they go to our communities first, and then they get distributed through all the drug dealers that are in the community, and then they get pumped out into the streets. And when these little blue pills are going for 50 cents, a dollar, you know, sometimes you buy 10 for fives and you get 20 for fucking 10. Like, that's a problem. And so we have to have a clear-cut plan on how to tackle these issues, because too many children are overdosing. And so for you to go to an overdosing den where all these mothers have not found justice, all these mothers have not found closure for their babies that they lost, you're going to sit up there and say that you don't have a plan for these overdoses. You don't have a plan to reduce the amount of overdose. You don't have a plan to tackle the crime that's going on in the community that's based around these drugs. And so it's a problem that's going to continually get worse. And so we really need to start speaking up in our communities, and we really got to start putting the right people in office that are going to hear our concerns and hear our voices and understand that this is a clear-cut problem and that we need to have a clear-cut plan on how to tackle this. Now, I started this session with, you know, a story that I heard in Tempe about having these resources. But we got to do more than just provide resources. We got to do more than just have these tools out there. You know, we have to build more treatment centers that has more wraparound services for these folks that are suffering. We have to make treatment mandatory, because, you know, as I'm out there doing outreach, there's people that don't care for any kind of treatment. They don't care to better themselves. And so that's the disease of fentanyl. That's the disease of opiates. That's the disease of substance abuse. It attacks the brain, where that it's normal to be out there all day struggling to find something to eat, because you wasted the little bit of money that you gathered up to go buy 20, 40 pills. And so that's what's happening. Some people are choosing to be out there. And so we need to start looking at this issue through a more broad scope and having a clear-cut plan on how to tackle these things. And so it's going to take efforts all the way around. You know, it's going to take effort from the community. It's going to take effort from the city of Tempe and some of these other cities too, for those communities. It's going to take effort from our police department, our city councils, the people that we're putting in office, the people that we're voting on to represent us. Like, these need to be broad issues that I brought up. And like I said, we got to have a clear-cut plan on this, because too many children are overdosing. Too many families are losing loved ones to overdose, and there's no discrimination on who this drug can get a hold of. And so, you know, like I said, this is a brain disease that has to get looked at as what it is. We know it's a brain disease, so we're gonna tackle it like a brain disease, and we're going to put people through treatment so that they can really start healing that brain and start learning some of these coping skills that they lost. Some of these kids, some of these folks out there in the streets have been out there since they were 13 years old. You know, there's a lot of different circumstances that can happen in these folks' lives that can put them out there in the streets. A lot of trauma, a lot of pain, a lot of, you know, lots of issues. And so those folks need to go to treatment because they need to be shown that those things are not, those are not normal way of, that's not a normal way of living. Using every day in the street and living in the street is not a normal way of living. And so the only way they're going to feel that support is if we give the right resources out there and we provide the right support for them so that they can overcome this, their addiction. And, you know, that's just the way that the community needs to, the government needs to put the money in the right resources so that these things can get, so these issues can get tackled from all angles. Because if we're just trying to fix one thing at a time with this issue, we're really just taking one step forward and three steps back. Because if we're just arresting the people that are suffering from substance abuse and we're not arresting the drug dealers, then we're going to make more people who are suffering from substance abuse. And so the homeless rate's going to go up, the crime rate's going to go up, and, you know, all these issues have to get tackled simultaneously with each other, because that's what's happening out there. And you know, if you notice, like, these resources have been out and available for a long, long time. The drug problem has only gotten worse over the last 5 years. The fentanyl problem has gotten worse. The opiate problem has gotten worse. And so it's up to us to really kind of dissect what's going on, and it needs to be a full-blown effort from everyone, because this is affecting everybody. This is affecting every business that's in these communities. You know, there's a community in Phoenix, in Central Phoenix, called The Zone, and all those businesses that are in that area, on top of all the people suffering in those areas. So this is like the Skid Row of Phoenix, and all the businesses in there are affected. Every one of those people's family members are affected. Every one of those people that are out there is affected. And that problem is only getting worse and worse and worse. And so the city's actually being sued by all these business owners, and it's not for them to get money. It's for that this problem to get fixed. And so, you know, there's not just one answer. There's tons of answers. And so, you know, that's the kind of awareness that needs to be brought up. And so it's not, you know, and this awareness should have already been brought up. We elect people in the office that should be seeing this issue getting worse. And so there should already be a clear-cut plan. Not that we don't have a plan. And so it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And hopefully they start looking at that. And hopefully this podcast gets to somebody that can make a difference and hears it. And, you know, I'm willing to work with anybody to help these outreach efforts. And so that's why I continuously do what I do, because I want to be a help. I want to be out there to help the community, and I want to be out there to save as many lives as possible and work with everybody I can work with to better our communities. Because if you follow this podcast, you already know, I've said this before, I have driven through these communities, and over the last 10 years, I have seen them get tremendously worse. And these were once really, really, really good communities. Communities in Mesa, communities in Tempe, communities in Phoenix. And it's hitting so hard that it's really affecting every area. There's not a real solid, great side of town anymore. Unless you're up there in where the million-dollar houses are. And if you just go from those million-dollar houses 3 minutes out any direction, you're going to land right in these areas that are hard hit with the opiate issues. And so that's all I really have for you guys today. I just kind of wanted to touch base on these subjects because these are conversations that need to be had. So that's pretty much all I have. And we'll leave it at that. I appreciate all y'all tuning in. Once again, go check out the YouTube channel, Nasty Backpack. Go check out and help support our cause. And so I love you all. Take care. Be safe. Spread the word. Spread this podcast. Spread the channel. It's your boy Nasty Backpack. We out.